You're in your outline or your bulletin there, but go ahead and look these up. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. And Colossians chapter 4, 4 through 6. Seizing the opportunities that await us is the message today. And I want you to go ahead and look those up, because Paul has an opportunity to talk to the Galatian church, the Ephesian church, Colossian church, and he is saying something similar and putting in different words. And I like these passages of scripture because it helps to remind me and helps all of us to think about being wise in this world, being wise, making good decisions, being wise and not waste time, and seize opportunities that God brings to our eyes, to our heart, to our mind, the things that He gives to us to use for His honor and glory. The news columnist Ellen Goodman wrote in an article. She said, "We spend January 1 walking through our lives, room by room, drawing up a list of work to be done, our cracks to be filled." How many of us do that? Walking room to room, see what needs to be done, or filling the cracks that needs to be patched. Then she says, maybe to balance that the list, we ought to walk through the rooms of our lives, not looking for flaws, but looking for opportunities. I like that, don't you? Looking for opportunities. And that's exactly what Paul shares with us here in these scriptures. See, our lives, from the moment we receive Jesus until we see Him face to face, should be characterized by excitement and adventure. Amen? Now, we sung that song a while ago, "Set My Fire." Set My Soul Afire. Was we really excited about that song? Set my soul afire, Lord. Yeah. Now that's the way we ought to do it. And sometimes we don't set our souls afire, do we? We let our flame go out sometimes, and that's why Paul says, relight, or fire it up, get it going again. So how does that happen, though? How do we have excitement and adventure in our life? Through the Lord's continual invitation to draw us closer, participate with Him, touching other people's lives. I think this is a few of the ways that we can have that excitement, adventure. So look with me at these verses, and then we'll look at some men and women who were courageous and how God used them in their lives. First of all, Galatians chapter 6, 10 says, "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith," or in some translation says, "family of faith." Now look at Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 15. "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because," why? "The days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So if we were to spend more time finding out what the will of the Lord is, then we don't have to worry about the evil around us and getting caught up or being tempted to veer off from our faith. That's what Paul is saying there. Now, Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Here he says to the Colossians, he said, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech also be with grace, seasoned, as it were, with salt, so that you may know how to you should respond to each person. Seize the opportunity. Now, Jimmy won't mind me sharing this. Just coming in to our worship, our sanctuary this morning, Jimmy was telling me after we had our prayer down in the Family Life Center. We meet every Sunday morning, 8:55, give or take a minute or two. But Jimmy said, you know, Pastor Mike, I had an opportunity this week, right? Down at the courthouse, the square down there, to pray with someone. You didn't know this person, did you, Jimmy?
She knew me.
She knew you.
We've got an acquaintance.
Okay. But she was in need of prayer. She had things going on in her life, and Jimmy said, you know what? Let's just pray about that right now. I like that, don't you? When we, you know, that's why the Bible says, when you have an opportunity, seize it, take advantage of it, and pray with someone, or talk with someone, or listen to someone, reach out to others. And then it says, especially those household of faith. Who is that? That's the body of Christ. So we are to reach out to others. But it says especially the household of faith. That means to be there, comfort, encourage, do whatever we need as the opportunity arises. So I want to look at some biblical passages, or these biblical passages, in which men and women had the choice of responding or ignoring the Lord. So first of all, God provides every believer with an opportunity. Do you believe that? He provides every one of us with an opportunity to do some good, to make a difference in this world. And I do believe that's why he placed us here on earth, to make a difference. You know who made the ultimate difference to this world? It was Christ. One that has never been ever forgotten. One that's changed this world, turned this world upside down. He went to the cross, and he died for our sin. He made a difference in Paul's life, and that's why Paul would say, you know, I was taking the wrong opportunities, and I was using them wrong. I wasn't doing it wisely. I was being foolish. But now, since the Lord has redirected me and changed my heart, I have a different outlook on life. And that's why he says, use it wisely, because the day is evil. And Paul would say, I was being evil. I was persecuting Christians. But now all of that has changed. And now I'm using my time wisely. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of anything that I'm doing for the cause of Christ. So Paul, he reached out to the Gentiles, the Jews, or whoever would listen to him, the jailers, Nero, anyone that would listen to him, because he wanted them to know who touched his life. And we have opportunity. God gives us, everyone, opportunities. Now, God provides every believer opportunity to share, okay? See, when Jesus and the disciples, when they met the hungry crowd, a boy got to participate in a miracle. And that's in John chapter 6. And Jesus looked out and he saw the people, and they were following him because the Bible says that they saw the signs and the miracles that he was doing. You see, God does that each day in our lives. He is doing signs. He's doing wonders. And we don't go, God said, show me a sign or show me a wonder so I will believe. You just look around and you will see them. Look at yourself as you are able to get up every day and go about what the task that God has called you or the opportunity he's given you. You see, that's a miracle. Life itself is a miracle. And as Christ, as he looked around and saw the multitudes, and it was getting late in the afternoon, and he knew these people were going to be hungry. He was wanting to feed them more than just food. He was wanting to give them something eternal. Just like he does us today. He wants to give us something eternally. Something that doesn't last while we're here on earth, but something that will last eternally. And see, the Lord provides for the physical things in life along with the eternal things, but the eternal things are a whole lot more important. But in order to get to the important things of eternal things, he wanted to make sure that he took care of their physical life as well. And he said, Philip, look at all those people out there. Look at them. 5,000 or more. Now, don't you think they're hungry? And Philip said, well, yes, they are, but we don't have the money to go and buy food for all these people. So Andrew shows up. He said, Lord, you know, there was a little boy here, a little lad a while ago, he's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. What did Jesus say? Go get him. Bring him here. You think that just happenstance, that the little boy just came with that? See, God has a plan, and he always works it out for the good and betterment of all of those who are in need. And the Bible says that he took those 5 barley loaves and he blessed it. And they gave it to everybody. And they had enough to eat and more. And then likewise, he took the 2 fish and he blessed. And they had more than enough to eat. And Jesus said, okay, let's don't waste nothing now. Just don't waste it. So they gathered up all the remaining bread and fish and had 12 baskets left. You see, here, Jesus met a need. He met a need. And see, the people were there because they had a need. But Jesus saw much deeper than their physical, their healing of their bodies and things like that. He saw an opportunity and he asked Philip to test him. You read the scripture, it said he was testing Philip to see where his faith is. Sometimes something enters our mind and we have a good thought. We have a tremendous thought, but we say, well, that won't work. That won't work. And oftentimes, Jesus will bring an opportunity in our lives. He will bring something, confront us with something that he knows that we can do, but sometimes we don't. Well, I don't know about this. I don't know how I will provide or how I will work this out. And the Lord wants us to say, well, I know I can't, but I know you can. Because the Bible says, nothing is impossible with God, right? Nothing. If we truly believe that, and then he places a thought or an opportunity in our mind, and then all we have to do is just to follow through. with the opportunity. And therefore, we share ourselves or what he has given us. Maybe it be over and abundant of what we need, but we're willing to share it with someone else. And you see, we think we are blessing those, but see, the true blessing comes by giving. And that's why Jesus loves to bless. He loves to give us an opportunity. See, it's oftentimes a test in our life. Who are we trusting? Are we trusting on our own abilities, our own resources? Are we trusting that God will provide? Because he often told the disciples, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. That will take care of itself. You just think about the kingdom of God. And all of these other things will just fall right in the right place at the right time, just exactly when you need it. And that's what Jesus is saying about the opportunities through Paul here. You see, many times, you know, I've seen people walking with their flashlights. Some of those flashlights are bright, and others are dim. And I have some of those sometimes, you know. I'm walking along, all of a sudden it gets dim, and then it'll get bright again. So let you know that you're going to need some batteries pretty soon. But the flashlights that are brightest far away are also the ones that are brightest close up, aren't they? You think about it. If they're bright far off, they're bright close up. And that is how it is with our Christian life as well. See, there's a phrase that is often used promoting missions, and it goes like this. The light that shines furthest shines brightest at home. I like that. That's a good mission statement. That's a good mission opportunity right there. This is to say that the more we do for our ministry right here gives us more opportunity to do for others. You know, if we're going to do good for all, or if we're going to do good for other believers, we must take care of what the opportunities that God gives us. Secondly, God provides every believer with the opportunity to serve the Lord. See, Jesus called Peter to leave his successful fishing business and take on a risky new venture of being his disciple. And guess what? In Matthew chapter 4, it says that Peter was willing to do that. He laid aside his fishing pole, his boat, and followed Jesus. See, because he stepped out on faith, God used him in a powerful ways to help establish the early church. See, God had this planned out from the very beginning. And he went to person, each man, knowing their capabilities, their skills, their behaviors, their likes, their dislikes. He knew everything about them. Knowingly that at times they were going to make some mistakes. Sometimes they're going to make promises to the Lord and wouldn't keep them. How many promises we make to the Lord and don't keep them? How many times do we say, Lord, I'm willing to do this. I'll surrender all. I will follow you. I'll even die for you. And that's what Peter said. I'll die for you. All the way through the scriptures, you know, not directly, indirectly, Jesus is saying, I'm giving you opportunity. And that's why he's saying to Peter, I'm giving you an opportunity to leave your profession to follow me. And wasn't that a leap of faith? That's a huge leap of faith. And if we have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, we'll grow large and large and big. Just think what God would do in the life of each believer, in the life of the church, if we really took him serious about what he offers us. Because we can't outgive him. He's going to give us all. He's going to give us whatever we ask in his name. If as a test sometime, just to see where we are, where what our relationship with is with him. Because we do get caught up in all the things, the busy things, just like Martha and Mary. Mary was at the feet of Jesus, and Martha was busy preparing a meal. And then she got upset because Mary wasn't in there helping her. And then she was seizing an opportunity to be with the Lord, because she was probably thinking in her mind, there won't be another moment just like this one, so I'm not going to miss this opportunity. What I'm saying here, the opportunities that God gives you, whether to speak with someone, or pray with someone, or reach out, or give someone something in need, and especially when it comes to salvation, seize that opportunity. Do it wisely. Do it prayerfully. Lord, you brought this opportunity in my life. I want to follow it wisely. I don't want to waste time. Just show me, direct me, and lead me in the paths that you want me to follow. And see, that's a test in our life. If we're willing to follow through, if we're willing to take a stand and step out, God will truly be faithful to us. John Maxwell writes, if you desire for just one person to close to you, it could be your spouse, your child, a brother, a sister, a close friend, or an employee, to change in some way, then become a model of change yourself. I like that, don't you? If you want a change, or you think somebody else can change their ways or their thoughts or conducts or something, be willing to change yourself. And see, that's where God takes over. If we're willing to change ourselves, allow God to change us inwardly, then you see, that's the impact. That's the difference it'll make to those around you. See, we are to do good. We do good things because God is good. The good that we do in this world reflects back on Christ and our relationship with him. You know, I love good pizza. How many of you like good pizza? Yeah. I like two types of pizza, the thin and crusty and the hand-tossed. Supreme, you know, normally from Pizza Hut. I'm not real picky, but I do like their Supreme pizza. And when you think about it, pizza is interesting. You know, we had a meeting here Thursday around noon, and we had pizza. And I don't know why I get the brainstorming and thinking about pizza and so forth in the midst of a meeting. But I'm also visualizing and think, you know, how to do ministry, how to bring churches together in our association and do things where that people will latch on to opportunities as a denomination, as association, and so forth. And here I am eating pizza. And I get all these brainstorms. And Brenda says, when I do that, it's dangerous. But that's just the way I'm wired sometimes. You know, we're all wired differently. But the reason I say pizza is interesting, see, the cook can be very good, skilled, and trained in the finest schools, and whether or not their ingredients are bad or good, the cook is still responsible. Aren't they? It doesn't matter if ingredients are good or bad. Is that right, Brent? The cook is still responsible. See, it's the cook's responsibility to choose the right ingredients. It's the cook's responsibility to make it good. And the reason I'm saying it, and as I'm sitting there, we serve a gracious and loving and caring God. We do. We are the ingredients in this great big pizza called Earth. We're the ingredients, whether we're good or bad ingredients. But we are to do good things and seize opportunities. You see? So he chooses us to do his work in this world. He chooses the best ingredients for each situation. As the ingredients of the pizza reflect the master cook, we reflect God when we do good. And that's why I chose Galatians 6:10, which says, therefore, as we have the opportunity, we are first to do good to all. Because we are the ingredients. Our great God made us you so uniquely. We are to do good in this world. We need to understand who Jesus is. In the story of Zacchaeus, you know, he climbed a sycamore tree and he wanted to see Jesus. Jesus said, come down, I'm going home with you today to eat with you. And everybody else around Zacchaeus knew and didn't like him. But you see, Jesus saw a wee little man in stature, but big in heart. And that changed Zacchaeus' life when Jesus said, I'm going home with you. I'm going to eat with you. I'm going to fellowship with you. I know nobody else really cares for you, but today your life has changed for the good. And see, going back to, if you want somebody else to change, you've got to change yourself. And when Zacchaeus changed his life, guess who else's life was changed? His family. Because he was willing to trust Christ. It changed him so much that he was willing to give back money that he had taken wrongly, and he made it right. You see, when we seize the opportunities to allow God to change our lives, we're going to take an opportunity to make it right. And that's what Zacchaeus did. He made it right. Okay, one last one that Christians, what we can do to seize opportunities is receive salvation. See, John chapter 3, 1 through 7, Nicodemus was searching and he believed that Jesus had some answers for him. He was a learned teacher himself. He came to Jesus to be taught. No matter how intelligent or well educated we are, we must come to Jesus with an open mind and a heart so that he can teach us the truth about the Heavenly Father. See, a searching heart is marked by several characteristics: humility and seeking and admitting personal need. When we first recognize we have a need, we need to be humbled. You see, when we're humbled, see, that's how God can work with us. Whether we're a non-Christian or a Christian, you see, God is seeking humility in our life. Jesus humbled himself to the point that he went to the cross for our sin. And in order to become a Christian, part of the kingdom of God, to have eternal life, we must humble ourselves before God and admit we have a personal need. Perseverance in overcoming obstacles that may keep us from finding and following Christ. There's a lot of obstacles. That's why Paul says, you know, be wise Take advantage of opportunities because the world is evil. We're living in an evil society. Has it always been that way? Ever since sin entered the world, it has. And we often say, can it get any worse? It can, but it can get better, right? When we seize opportunities to do something for Christ, we can see this world completely turned around. One person turned it around completely. If we would take our responsibility as Christians serious, we could be much ahead where we are in this world today. If we seize the opportunity and we give claim to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, He is the victor in our life. We need insight in recognizing that the gospel message relates to our lives. Everything about the Word of God relates to us. Everything that we do on a daily basis relates to our lives. It's a reflection of who we are in our lives. Willingness to submit to the Lordship of Christ. In obedience and going beyond mental consent to active dependence on God's promises and His guidance in our life. See, the wisest choice anyone can make to receive eternal life in Jesus Christ. See, there's no greater thrill than to have a vibrant personal relationship with the Maker of this whole universe. And then He places us right in the middle of it so that we can make a difference as well. So I want to ask you a question. There's many different opportunities to do good while you're here on this earth. There's many opportunities. There's many things that we can do. It's up to you whether or not you will do something with the time you have. Now here's the challenge. 6 months from now, you're going to look back at what you have accomplished in your personal life. 6 months from now, you can do an evaluation of what difference that you have made, what impact that you have made upon this life. And for most of you in here, it's good. You've accomplished a lot of things in your life. We do an evaluation, and you see, God is testing us. Okay, do you want to do more? Do you want to be better in your life in serving me? We look back and see what we've accomplished. See, are you going to look back and wonder if it was a big waste of time? Or you're going to see some measurable good that you've done? See, the choice is up to us. The opportunities are here. The challenge is for you and me to find out what it is. See, the same goes for the good that you do with other Christians or for other Christians. They're the same that goes for the good that we do along the life, our life way. Everything that we do is in accordance with God's will. If we seek His will first before we seize the opportunity, because He will give those to us. He points us in those directions. And then when we see it and we know it, you see, everybody is blessed. You, the person, community, the church, this whole world will benefit being making wise decision and taking, you know, opportunity of every opportunity of helping the household of faith or helping one another that's struggling, and especially the lost in our world, in our own community. May we pray. Father God, we thank You this morning for Your precious love. We thank You that You're always giving us opportunities to make a difference. And this morning, Lord, we just pray during the invitation that Your Holy Spirit speaks to each one of our hearts. each one of us have a spirit. And each one of us have an opportunity to take a step for you. During this invitation, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally, today they can. They can have that personal relationship with you. They can know you personally. And I pray, Lord, that whatever opportunity during this service that you have placed in our heart and our mind, the ones that we passed up are the ones, Lord, that you lead will reveal to us. I pray, Lord, this morning that we will say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to take on the task. And give me an opportunity to be a witness to someone, or a prayer partner with someone, or an encourager to someone, or just show someone that I love them. Lord, I pray that we use this invitation wisely, that through your Holy Spirit, that you will lead us, and we will take what you give us, and we will use it wisely. We praise you. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 367.